Well, let us begin by singing our first hymn. This your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Righteous are you, O Lord,
and right are your just decrees.
Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love,
and teach me your statutes.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless,
who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep his testimonies,
who see him with their
that my ways may be steadfast.
In keeping your statutes.
That I may not be put to shame. Righteous are you, O Lord.
And right are your justice
decrees. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love.
And teach me your statutes.
Lord, we implore you, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Reading from the Catechism. Who is the only true God? The true God reveals himself in Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead for us. Jesus shows us the Father. The Father and the Son give the Holy Spirit, who always points us to Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son. Thus, the only true God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one divine being. The Holy Trinity. And they ask you to note the three persons of the Trinity are present and active in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3, Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17, and John 1, verses 1 through 3. Matthew 28, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 25th chapter of Proverbs, beginning with verse 6. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king. Do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince, whom your eyes have seen. Do not go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end, when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it exposes your shame and your reputation is ruined. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with our gradual. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord,
the people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
By the word of the Lord the heavens were made,
and by the breath of his mouth, all
the earth. Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1. I, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice, and my pleas for mercy. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 1. As Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best place, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here endeth our gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost, the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us as the righteous by that. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood on the right hand. He shall come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
God exalts the humble, based on verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
These words are repeated in one form or another several times throughout Scripture, including from the Lord's mouth a number of times. The mother of the Lord, the Virgin Mary herself, spoke such words in the Magnificat, which she rejoiced for the child that was in her womb. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. And in her song, Mary expresses nothing more than what is consistently repeated in Scripture. Psalm 113 speaks it well. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. Dear saints in Christ, what Jesus is teaching with this statement is nothing short of the hope that all Christians cling to. You are saved by grace apart from your works. He who exalts himself will be humbled. Who will humble him? God will. God casts down the mighty from their thrones and humbles the proud. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Again, who will exalt him? God will. God exalts the humble, that is, those who claim the lowest place at the banquet. God exalts. God exalts those who claim nothing apart from their works, but rely only upon God's grace. You see, exalting yourself before God is a foolish thing to do. Well, you might be able to convince others that you are great, or even convince yourself that you are righteous. God cannot be fooled. He searches the innermost part of man. He who searches the mind of God and knows his inner thoughts certainly can search you and find any blemish there that there is to find. And you all know that there is plenty for the Lord to find wrong with each of you. So then it is foolish to exalt yourself. Still, that does not mean that people don't try. In fact, it's quite difficult not to exalt yourself. Humbling yourself is much more challenging, because to humble yourself, you must rely upon only God to elevate you to the proper place. So fear creeps in. What if God doesn't exalt me? Will I be stuck at this miserably low spot? And that is why people try to exalt themselves. They trust in themselves that they can get a better spot at God's banquet. And they don't trust God to give them an adequate spot. You see, to humble yourself takes faith. To humble yourself, you must trust that God will lift you up. Those who refuse to humble yourself lack faith that God will exalt you. Those who do humble yourself trust in God, that he will give you a greater position in his kingdom than anyone could possibly dream for yourself. St. Paul teaches you how to have such faith. He writes to the Christians in Philippi, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as dung, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." St. Paul, who certainly could claim much higher works than any of you, does not count them toward his credit or boast to sit on a higher seat. Rather, St. Paul trusts that God will raise the needy out of the manure pile, and having washed them all clean, sets them before princes. Now, how can St. Paul say this? How can he so readily let them go of his good works and take such a lowly spot for himself? Because he has faith that God has in store for him a much greater position than he could ever gain from all of his works. Again, St. Paul writes into his second letter to Timothy, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." That God exalts the humble means, then, that God saves sinners by grace apart from your works. But to humble yourself to receive such grace takes faith in God's promise to exalt you. Therefore, grace and faith cannot be divorced. To be saved through faith means that you are saved by grace. Now, how lowly must you humble yourself so that you can be exalted by God? Jesus says in Matthew 18, "Whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Nevertheless, truly you must humble yourself even lower, yes, even to death, unless your sinful old Adam dies, so that you can be raised again to new life by the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved. Well, your pride tries to save you, your old Adam. You want to say there is still something good in you that you can show to God, so that you don't have to trust solely upon His grace. But God says, no, you can't save the old Adam. And he must be crucified with Christ, and he must be destroyed. And this is why you come to church every week to hear the same confession. "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities." Because the old Adam continues to rise again and again. This is why St. Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, "I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh." And again he writes to the Christians in Colossae, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And these you once walked too, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Therefore you learn that you must die every day and take the lowest spot with full confidence that God will raise you up again through faith in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you can have such confidence that God will raise you up, because Christ Jesus humbled himself, even to the point of death upon the cross. He had the right to claim equality with God. Nevertheless, he took the position of sinners for your sake. And God has highly exalted Jesus, who plunged himself into the swampy bog of your sins and into the pit of hell, as he suffered the consequences of your sins upon the cross. Jesus did this confident that God would raise him from the dead and place him above all things. Therefore, when you humble yourself by repenting of your sins and claiming absolutely nothing in yourself to earn your salvation before God, You join yourself to Jesus' death. You trust that if you have died with Christ through faith, that God will surely raise you from the dead, just as he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Humbling yourself is a scary thing if you don't know if you will be lifted up. But when you look to Christ, who has been exalted by God, even after being soiled and smeared with all your sins, then you can have confidence that you too will be raised. You see, Christ is your assurance that God will tell you to move up higher. Your baptism is a token that you can remember even now. Your own personal rainbow in the sky, which assures you of God's promise. When Jesus tells you to humble yourself, he is not telling you to beg before the hangman in the last-ditch effort to spare your life. He is telling you to take off your dirty robes and to trust that God will give you a princely robe. Trust not in yourself, but in God, who has promised you every good thing through the merits of Jesus Christ alone. Through humility, you learn that God deals with you by grace, not according to your works. This grants you great peace with God, now and for eternity. Nevertheless, humility also creates peace, and it creates unity in the church upon earth. When each person considers the other more significant than himself, peace is sustained. St. Paul writes in his epistle reading from this morning, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Humility. Bearing with one another's burdens helps maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How easy it is to think of others and their need to repent when you hear the law preached. Nevertheless, God wants you to examine yourself and to think of your own need for repentance. Do not seek out the sins of others, but seek out your sin that's in your own heart so that you can repent and be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you consider that your place in God's kingdom is a pure gift given to you by grace, not on account of your own goodness, you cannot boast to be a better Christian than any other blemished lamb who comes to be cleansed in Jesus' flock. Humility leads you to forgive the faults in others, to strive for unity in Christ, and not to force your ways upon others. When you trust in God's grace alone on account of Jesus' merit, you have no need to tear others down so you can make yourself look better. God will lift each of you higher than you could ever imagine for yourself. And so it should be a joy to fill others up now, knowing that you lose nothing from it. When you rely upon God's grace, you are able to focus upon loving your neighbor. The Pharisees were offended that Jesus broke the Sabbath to heal someone. They used the law only to advance themselves. They did not love this person, so they could not establish themselves as a higher seat at God's table. But the law was given that they should love their neighbor. Jesus fulfilled the law on the Sabbath by loving his sick neighbor. But this can only be understood if you yourself have received God's love. This can only be done through faith. When you humble yourself to receive God's love, dear saints in Christ, he who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. These words are so terrifying to you who trust in yourself. But for you who fear the consequence of your sins and trust in Jesus, there are no more comforting words that you can hear. The words are a promise from God that he will exalt you, you who trust in Jesus and not in yourself. May you always believe this promise until God lifts you up to dine with him on the last day forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep you safe in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
For the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father, grant us a humble faith and joy in your mercy that has raised up the poor and undeserving and given us a place at your table. Bestow upon us your Spirit, that we may be brought to repentance and kept from thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
prayer. O Lord, preserve and give success to the preaching of your holy word through pastors, missionaries, church workers, and the priesthood of all believers. Send forth your Son's gracious invitation to repent and believe, and cause it to be received with joyful faith. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Aidan and Don continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, grant that we, as your children by baptism, would fulfill our calling to love you above all, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Give us grace in our vocations as husbands, wives, parents, and children. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, you have ordered the nations and brought up their rulers for the punishment of wickedness and the praise of goodness. Pour out a spirit of wisdom, that all those mired in disputes among us would pursue justice, godliness, and the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, look in kindness upon those who have been humbled by troubles of this life, especially Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, and Belinda. Lift them up in healing and renew their strength to serve you in what you have called them to do. Lord, in your mercy. Divine Master, you prepare for us a heavenly feast, a heavenly feast this day. Grant us faith to cherish this banquet of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And being honored by a place at your table, inspire us to spurn all the small and fleeting honors of this world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, author of all concord, you will that your people be one, knit together in your holy church, that according to their vocations they may join in humble service to the world in jubilant praise of you, the only God. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that through your holy word you have called us to your great supper. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may not hear your word without fruit, but prepare ourselves rightly for your kingdom and not allow ourselves to be hindered by any worldly care. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with hymn 307.
Thank you.
creed, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Now, just the body of the wisdom and receiving of Jesus Christ, strengthen, preserve, and guide us all to life everlasting. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give you baptism of grace. Take, eat. The true body of Christ.
Receive the blood of Christ.
Take, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Now, this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
New Clementis. Beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Countenance upon thee and give thee peace.